for today.
On a mountainside to pray. By the way, wouldn't it be interesting to be with him as he prayed, to know what he prayed? If he spent that much time with the Lord, with his Father, how much so more for us? When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed in the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, the word that guides us, leads us, that sustains us. We just pray that our hearts would be open to your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. In Jesus' name. A little bit of background. The Sea of Galilee lies in what is known as the Valley of the Jordan Rift. The cool air descends and meets the hot air rising. This clash results in unpredictable, violent storms. Peter and James and John and Andrew were fishermen, so for this storm to be violent, for them to be afraid, the storm must have been really violent. Jesus had just sent the disciples on ahead of him, and he went up on the mountain to pray. Mark tells us he immediately sent them into the boat and started on the other shore, Immediately indicates they left right after the feeding. He just fed the 5,000. So this was probably 6 o'clock at night. So they took off about 6 o'clock. And goes on to say, about the fourth watch in the night, he went out to them. The fourth night, the fourth watch was about 3 in the morning. And he saw they were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I did some thinking, and it's only an opinion, but that means they were probably going, if I figure they left at 6 in the evening, that would have been at least 9 hours. They were fighting 9 hours. And it goes on to say they had only made about 3.5 miles. So that's kind of a testimony to the degree of the storm. So for a minute, I'd just like you to picture something. Think about this. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It was as dark as any night could ever be. The wind was howling. The waves were so high, the water so angry, that it seemed like the boat might capsize. And worst of all, Jesus is nowhere to be seen. It's no wonder They were terrified. They were afraid. And if things weren't bad enough, suddenly they see this figure approaching them walking on the water. Their fear suddenly turned into terror. And they had every reason to fear, for as Mark says, they had not understood about the loaves and the fishes. So we know the rest of the story, but what can we learn from this? Firstly, and this probably goes without saying, but it's worth remembering, Jesus saw where they saw them and the situation they were in, and he came to them. The first thing that he said was, "Take courage, do not be afraid. It is I. This tells us that there is power in the Word of God, the power over fear. Fear is one of the evil one's most powerful weapons. It can paralyze, it can just simply render us useless. But the Word of God has power over fear. God's Word robs him of this power. Fear and faith cannot coexist. We are controlled by one or the other. His words are based on his unlimited, unconditional, intensely personal love for us and is available to us 24/7, 365. Storms remind us of Jesus' power and authority. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. As you read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus has power over nature, power over death, power over sin, power over demons. There is no force that can withstand those who are abiding and staying and learning and knowing God's word. The storms also remind us of God's faithfulness. Sometimes it's easy to overlook when things are going well, bank account is full, relations are going well. But then every once in a while, a storm blows up, and the evil one will come to us and say, "Did God really say?" The same trick it worked for Adam and Eve, and it certainly works today. That's just the way he is. No one witnessed more tragedy than the prophet Jeremiah. He saw the destruction of Jerusalem. He saw other acts of war that are really too horrible to mention. Yet he had the faith to say, "Great is thy faithfulness." He looked beyond the storm. Storms remind us not only of God's power, but our powerlessness and frailty. In a world where evil, selfishness, division, and hate seem so real, we need a reminder of who is in control. Storms teach us patience. We are very impatient people, and we want solutions right away. I guess that's why microwaves are so popular. In the first few years of our marriage, my wife got me a coffee cup and said, "Lord, grant me patience and grant me now." So she kind of knew where I was coming from. But sometimes God says, "Slow down, wait. It's my timing, not your timing." And finally, storms deepen our knowledge of Jesus. He does speak in the good times, but he often speaks loudest in the hard times. As I've often said, we cannot probably know anything new about God and about Jesus, but we can certainly deepen our knowledge of him now. So it's in these times that we learn. We just need to be still and listen. So God as I've often said and I will continue to say, is a personal God. Not like the God that the Arabs worship, not like Buddha, who would probably be horrified to be called a God. The bottom line is simply this. If you forget everything I said, let's remember this. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And he's not about to let any storm get the best of you. Amen.